What's that?
Amy.
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 What?
Amy.
Amy. Amy.
You fucking quit it right now.
Yeah, don't worry about bad words either, because we're E now. We're explicit.
Yeah, you're explicit now.
Yeah. Oh, is that what that fucking means?
Yeah.
Yes, that's what I
thought it was
that.
Everybody. I thought, well, fuck, we did good.
No, they rate podcasts a little bit different than they do video games.
Man, I was doing good on swear words.
You actually did pretty good.
I did. Yeah. For me.
Yeah.
Written on
a
curve.
We had a couple of shits in there. And
yeah, but I didn't go on a tangent or nothing.
Well,
I don't think I had a fuck.
These guys didn't get to hear was the part that I cut out where you started talking about something where everybody stood there and looked at you like, the fuck is he talking about?
And those kind of rhymes.
I knew it. I knew it, but they didn't.
Yeah.
And I went back when I.
It's usually my job.
Yeah.
When I did the editing, I went back and listened to it. And I'm like, well, if they don't know DJ me, they have absolutely no idea what he's doing. So I just cut it out.
It's probably better that way.
Welcome, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Precision Rifle Network. I am your host, Jason, and to my left, I have Mr. Joel Wise. Joel, would you like to say hello?
Hello.
How you doing?
Good. Fine. Just
good
fine.
To have you with us.
Thanks. I'm a little close to Deej, but it'll be all right.
Yeah. just watch. Everybody just keep their hands in their pockets, all right?
Somebody's pockets, anyway.
That's DJ's voice. DJ, say hi.
Hello, everyone.
And last but certainly not least, also joining us tonight, a very special guest, Alan Bennett. Alan?
Emphasis on special, but...
Well, he was a Marine, so obviously, you know, we gotta use small
ones. We got a lot of questions about the new flavors coming out from Crayon.
So for those of you that do not know Alan, Alan, why don't you give us a little bit of background and history on you, please?
Oh, boy. Okay. Been jumping into the Precision Rifle thing over the last few years, and I went down a rabbit hole pretty quick after I bought the old Graf reloading and turned into full circle reloading and firearms. So kind of deep dive right into this whole industry, went wild with it. So
yeah, so once you got out of the Marines, you got into the Precision Rifle community.
It's got out of the Marine Corps, went into construction. I was not even remotely close to doing anything like this. And decided that I wanted to get into the Precision Rifle side of things. And Jason actually took me out to the range for the first time. And purely because I could not handle shooting 100 yards anymore. I had to do something else. You can only shoot tacks off the board so many times before you're just done. So I went out and trying to talk me into coming out to this PRS match. I'm like, I don't really want to compete. I really got into this to beat my brother's ass at the long gun thing. It's the only reason I did this, right? And, he cancels, calls in sick the day before the match. He's like, don't worry. You can ride with this guy's good friend of mine. His name's DJ. And I'm just like, all right. Well, anybody who knows DJ, it's like, that's a hell of a first meet and greet. Right? So we drive down to Big Piney. Hook, line, and sinker, right? Got me. It's this huge spiral rabbit hole. The whole sales pitch was, look, even if you don't compete, it's $40 and you can shoot 700 yards. I'm like, 700 yards? Hell yeah, right? And so that was the most expensive $40 I've ever spent. And so down the rabbit hole we went. Yeah.
Facts. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. So 2018, 2019, shot between 25 and 30,000 rounds each of those years. I mean, it was crazy rabbit hole. Went down everything. And so found out, didn't know shit. Everything the Marine Corps taught me was wrong. Had to restart from scratch. Went down this huge thing with all disciplines. Went down the pistol, carbine, and precision rifle side of it. So went from working HVAC and sliding down this rabbit hole into owning a gun store all inside of 5 years. I'm not really sure what happened.
Well, you certainly got a heck of a history in what we do, and you've done a lot in a very short amount of time with not only coming in as a competitive shooter, but also taking over ownership of the what is now Full Circle Reloading and Firearms in St. Charles, Missouri. You've done a lot in the last few years, so
yeah, it's
that's
been
pretty commendable.
Been busy,
yeah.
And you know, the amount of weight that my wife's taken on to be able to let us do that has been pretty incredible too.
Yeah, so, families always help a lot.
Yeah, doing all that and throwing three additional kids into it at the same time, it's been a ride.
Let's see where the weight load is. All right, haven't hit it yet, but we're trying.
Hey, nothing's broke yet. Let's keep riding this out.
Well, I'm certainly glad you could join us tonight. Before we get into the main part of the main part of the podcast, we got some bills to pay. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual host, co-host, and guest only, and do not necessarily reflect that of the Precision Rifle Network, its sponsors, or affiliates. Information provided on this podcast is presented solely for entertainment and educational purposes only. We are not attorneys or legal experts, therefore, none of the information provided tonight is considered to be legal advice. Listener discretion is advised, especially when DJ is here.
I don't know why you single me out. I'm usually the voice of reason.
Everybody else knows why you got singled out.
People that don't know Deej are going to learn all about Deej in a very short amount of time. Yeah. Sponsors for the podcast. Title sponsor is Arcan Optics. You can check them out at arcanopticsusa.com. Thank you for your sponsorship. Coltac, serious gear for serious shooters. Go to col-tac.com. You can use PRN10 for a 10% discount code upon checkout. We've got Axel. Axel provides superior hearing protection for hunters and shooters. That's goaxel.com. Use PRN15 for discount code there. And last, MK Machining, mkmachining.com. Use PRN10 for discount code there. So thank you very much to all of our sponsors. Before we get started with everything else, what did you guys do in firearms this last week or so? Joel, let's start with you.
Sure. Well, I wrote a few notes. I don't know how long you want to go.
No. Let's do it. We got all the time in the world.
I actually had to narrow it down because, you know, this is kind of what I do for work, for a job, obviously. It's kind of like Alan. Like, mm-hmm. If you ask Alan, what'd you do at your shop every single day?
Got to narrow it down.
Got to narrow this down, yeah. So, I went down to Ryan Hunt, Hunt's Long Range here in Missouri, and he has been working on a Remington 700 build for me. Just a standard Remington 700 SPS, little 223, that has been back and forth a couple of times between where it was factory condition, and it has become a 300 blackout, short barrel 300 blackout at one point, and now it's back to a 16-inch. It's just standard 223. Well, it's 223 wild now. So I went down and got that from Ryan, and came home and put it into an Ultradyne chassis, a little shorty, their shortest little chassis. Put some pictures of that up on Instagram if anybody's interested in seeing that bad boy.
What are you thinking of that chassis so far?
So far, I like it. Fit and finish is excellent. Everything's rounded off nicely. You know, there's no sharp edges that I have found yet. It seems to fit everything pretty well. It's got the features that you want with, you know, milled in Arca and all the things. Got a spigot mount that you can add out on the end if you need a little bit more length for a bipod or something like that. My one complaint right now is the AR style buttstock. It is not super adjustable for length at all. For me personally, I have a shorter length of pull than most dudes my size. So I'm actually switching to a 5-inch long pistol buffer tube. And that's gonna solve some of the issues for me. But so I did that. I also had Ryan cut down my 7PRC. If anybody remembers watching that video, the 7PRC started out with a 29-inch barrel on it. And I have had Ryan cut that down to 25 inches for me. I don't need the speed that I was getting, you know, around 3,000 feet per second. I'm not a hunter who's going to take a shot at an animal past 600 yards, most likely. Just my own personal brand of ethics, whatever you want to call that. But the 7PRC is going to be a great hunting rifle for me, but I don't need the 29-inch barrel, and I don't need 3,000 feet per second. So
yeah.
I had him cut that down. The main thing, I guess, that I wanted to say that I did this week was I finally got some serious time behind the Vortex Impact 4000.
Cool.
Got that all calibrated and zeroed out, you know, collimated or whatever you want to call it with my optic and doped it out. And the one thing that I learned about it that I thought was interesting, maybe you guys already knew this, I didn't, is that say you range something at 400 yards and you dial your scope up for your drop data, you can't just switch to a new target further out or closer and range it again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be off. You have to zero back out your scope. That should have been common sense probably, but I didn't put two and two together. So, you know, I'm sitting there and I go from 400 out to like 525 and I'm like, what the heck, man? Why this thing's like reading 50 yards further than I know it is. What the heck's going on here? You know, so I realized that as kind of, it could be considered a limitation, but I suppose it could also be that if you're only ranging one target, like an animal or something like that, it's not an issue. And if you're in a field match and you're using these things, you're likely ranging all your targets first, writing that stuff down, then you're starting back over with your data on your scope. So,
or you can hold over.
Or you can just hold over.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. What was the guy down there that, you know, second focal plane, not close enough? Okay.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, the second focal plane, holdovers.
Freedom USA.
Freedom.
Sam, yeah. Sam something.
So if you'd take a class with him, you'd be all good to go.
You're going to engage, what is it, 92 targets in like 8 seconds.
Here comes the rabbit trail.
I don't remember exactly.
Oh, gosh, that guy was an idiot.
We need to get Robert Brantley on because he was the one that just put him to shame on that post. Yeah.
Robert Brantley and Brian Sykes. Brian Sykes did
yeah.
too.
Yeah. Ken Lynn as well. Yeah. They all went nuts on him.
Yeah. Oh, that was over Derek Duncan. Derek didn't even respond to anybody. He just got ripped apart on there for no reason.
It was pretty funny.
Oh, that was a lot of fun. Yeah. I remember that. So,
well, that's all I got for my what I did this week.
How about you, Deej?
I had to work.
Yeah.
Swap some scopes around.
Of course.
Because, you know,
that's just kind of a weekly thing.
Yeah, I got to swap scopes.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what else we did gun wise. Oh, started working on a stock for Coda.
What kind of stock? For a shotgun?
For the shotgun. Yeah.
For that old, what is that?
Hopkins. Yep.
So he's got enough parts now to make a complete shotgun.
Maybe. Yeah. We'll see.
That'll be cool if when he
a falling block shotgun. What's not cool?
Yeah, it's pretty darn cool. That's it.
Pretty much, yeah. Work's been busy, huh?
What scopes you just swap around, and why, and on what?
He just puts
the
them all
CMG. I was putting the CMMG together.
Yeah, you got that CMMG 22.
Yeah, I haven't shot it, but I'm hoping tomorrow.
I'm really looking forward to hearing some feedback on that.
Yeah, me too. I might borrow your mag feeder too.
Yeah, I got it. Absolutely.
Because 25 rounds at a time, my thumbs get sore.
Yeah.
Just sighted in one of their new CMMG large frames for a customer. We'll do a sight in and dope for people.
Yeah.
Dropped it off running factory ammo. It was sub half minute.
Really?
Yeah, it was actually really impressive. Yeah. We shot a 6-inch group of 600 with it.
Holy crap.
Yes.
What caliber?
6.5 Creed.
6.5 Creed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Running factory 140 LDMs. Yeah, yeah. Me and Derek Duncan were out shooting a video, and it's like, I gotta do some work while I'm here. Out of a gas gun, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty impressive rifle, actually.
CMMG is pretty darn strong right now.
Yep. They're doing good things over there.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a dealer for them also. Now, you are as well, right?
I'm not a dealer direct. No, we can get them through distribution.
I got you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, they've been great to deal with. In that 22 upper you got, I mean, I pulled it out of the box and
it all looks good. Everything,
the finish is awesome.
Feels good.
Yep. Good stuff coming out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can get them for a sponsor on the show. We need to touch base with them.
Yeah, they're a Missouri company. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know just a couple people over there that might be able to make it happen.
Three shot at 100.
And if you scroll over, I took a picture of the 600-yard group. Yeah, it's an incredible rifle. I mean, obviously not on video for the podcast, but
three shots at six, and that's probably, a 2.5-inch group?
I would say. It's close. Yeah, the three shot. Yeah, and Duncan actually shot that. Shooting modified prone. Put that down. Vortec Venom.
Yeah, that's great.
Optic on it. Yeah, pretty incredible.
Wow.
Yeah, impressed.
Especially with a gas gun, because you got to have your follow through and everything else on them.
Yeah, things hammer.
What kind of trigger it's got in it?
I think it comes with the trigger tech, if I remember right.
Yeah,
It might have been a Geissele. Yeah, it was pretty good. Good two stage on it.
Two stage. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Well, besides your normal business, did you do anything in firearms this week?
No, all business stuff. Yeah. I didn't do anything fun. We did SHOT Show last week. So a lot of new stuff coming out on the precision rifle side of things. Believe it or not, Black Rain Ordnance, who typically huge gas gun thing, they just released a 3-lug action I would put on par with Joel's Terminus action. It's very smooth. The lockup is tight. Come with pre-fits. It's got the same kind of QD system. It's pretty incredible, actually.
They've been hinting at that for quite a while. Yeah, though.
Physically had it, and they're shipping. They're ready. It's not like a delay. This might be ready in a year type situation. They said they are built and taking orders. So
I got, I'm trying to remember, it was probably October of last year when they announced it. I deal with them also. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, that my 3-gun AR is a Black Rain so far. I love it. But dealers got notified of the bolt action coming mm-hmm. out. And we could have pre-ordered, you know, how I hesitate a little bit on something that's brand new.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I do want to get one here in the shop so we can all abuse it and put it through its paces.
It seems like a viable option. Not that Terminus is not also a viable option, but their lead times are pretty tough right now.
Yeah.
We've got guys that have been waiting for 6, 8, 9 months to get in action, which is tough.
Right.
So. So did SHOT Show. We added a couple things at the shop. We're going to start doing brass processing services for people. So mm-hmm. anybody who's ever loaded 223 knows exactly what I'm dealing with. So we're going to start. Yeah, so we reached out to Dylan and we got a hold of the CP2000. So we're going to have a full automated case processing. And we're also going to start renting the reloading bench. So we're getting it set up so that people who can't afford to have a Dylan 750 at their house, they can come in, do an hourly bench fee, and then you can just use all the equipment and load. So
that's great.
We're trying to get that spun up right now. And then we're getting spun up for the 2024 precision rifle classes.
That'd be one way to get Amy to actually reload.
What's that?
If she had to pay by the hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're pretty excited. We're going to give it a go. Obviously, it's a pretty substantial initial investment. So, I mean, the CP2000 and then Dylan 750 to get fully kitted out. But once we recoup some of those costs, we're going to buy the auto drive for it. So all you have to do is just plug and play and just let her eat.
Keep it feeding it. Mm-hmm. Keep feeding it.
Yeah, so that's right. What we've been trying to spin over and get moving.
That's interesting. Very cool. Well, for me, I didn't do a whole lot this week, but sitting over here on the table, I've got a new Canic that we got here in the shop, and actually just came in yesterday, took it out, put a few mags through it, not a single hiccup, shot at 10 yards today. I shot I posted it up on Facebook and Instagram. 5-shot group, and then I would say it was probably an inch at 10 yards. You know, fairly slow firing. I just wanted to see the accuracy, but that was standing, unsupported, bulk Winchester ammo, 115 grain bulk ammo. So far, been a really good pistol, and there's a TP9 sitting there. I've had that for a couple of months now here in the shop. Put a little over 300 rounds through it. Again, not a single hiccup, so they've been... For the money, those things are pretty darn impressive, and both of them are sporting their Canic's MO1 red dot RMR footprint. Both have run flawlessly. So I've been really, really happy with those pistols so far. So
one of the more notable features that the trigger is excellent.
Yes.
Yeah, for a striker fired. It's hard to beat them.
It feels like a 1911 trigger. You've got the take up.
It's close.
That take up is there, but that break feels like a single action trigger. Mm-hmm. I'll just say a single action trigger.
I'll give you that.
Yeah, it's no staccato trigger.
No,
but it's also not a GI trigger either.
No,
but you would not think if you were closing your eyes and you pulled that trigger once you got to that wall, that was a striker fired pistol.
Yep. Yeah, same thing could be said. Trigger Tech just released a new Glock trigger.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and Timney's got one, too.
Boys, it's good.
Yeah, I've been using Timney's for about a year now or so. Whenever it came out, I bought it right away, so I don't know how long it's been out, but it's really good, and I would expect Trigger Tech to be a little better, probably.
It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. A buddy of mine is a diehard staccato guy, and he pulled the trigger on that, and even he was like, whoa.
Nice.
Like, yeah. The compliments he gave the guy, I was like, man, I wish the engineer was here, because that's the kind of stuff that keeps him working. So, yeah, they're good.
I'd compare those Canic triggers to the Sig Legion Custom Shop. Legion pistols, like those are really good pistol triggers in my opinion. These are very similar to that.
Really?
Yeah, that's
I've never shot one.
Like the X5s and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's cool. All right. let's go into the next segment of the show here. Main topic tonight is going to be my initial review of the Arkin Optics EPL4. Y'all bear with me here. I got a couple pages written up, so I'm going to kind of go through this about as quickly as I can. We'll get your guys' thoughts on it. So, manufacturer's description, the EPL stands for EP Light, lightweight hunter version of the EP Extreme, which is their precision series. It's built on a streamlined 30 millimeter main tube to reduce overall weight with our toolless, easy to operate capped windage turret that lets you set and forget. Our Japanese ELD and VHR variable hunter reticle combined to provide astonishing optical performance, making this a pleasure for users of all skill levels and disciplines. So like I said, it's VHR reticle. Mag range is 624, field of view 8.5 feet, at 6 power 4.5 feet roughly, at 25 power, and this is at 100 yards. And it is in the first focal plane. It is available both in mil or MOA. Click adjustments are 1/10 or 1/4 MOA. Parallax goes from 10 yards to infinity. It's 30 millimeter main tube, illuminated reticle, claimed eye relief of 3.5 inches, comes with a zero stop, length is 13.8 inches, weight 23.7. Elevation adjustment gives you 20 mils or 68 MOA, windage is 12 mil or 41 MOA. Adjustments per revolution, 8 mil or 20 MOA, windage is 6 mil or 15 MOA. What comes in the box? Well, I don't know, and here's, we'll talk about this here in just a little bit. So this is a borrowed scope, which has been sitting in the shop for a couple of days now. The scope actually belongs to DJ.
I won it from Joel.
Yeah, you won this scope from the PRN through Patreon support, correct?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you said you did not do a review on this scope.
No, we did a basic review on it. Yeah. Yep. I just have to try to remember. After you asked, I remembered that, and I was like, okay, crap. Now I'm gonna have to come up with my thoughts on it.
I got you. But you do have the box that it came in, correct?
I got the box. Yep, had a sunscreen, and then they had a deal for the scope caps and the mount and something else. And for like $200, you got all that.
Okay, so you got the mount, scope caps. What about the throw lever? Did that come with it or
no? That was in the with the mount and all that stuff.
Came with the mount.
Yep.
Okay, so basically, what you got in the box was the scope.
The scope.
And
what, the sunscreen?
The sunscreen.
Yep.
The sunshade. Got you. Okay, the screw-in sunshade, which you had claimed that you couldn't screw it in because the threads were buggered up or
something. Yeah, I didn't know if it was Joel or if it was from them.
So,
but I told him I wanted PRN stickers on it, and he put them on the sunshade.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I can't screw it in. So there we are.
I actually got it threaded in. So,
well, you're probably the reason.
So we're not going to blame this one on the manufacturer.
I don't think so.
Yeah, it's probably if it can be broke, Deej can break it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I can break it. But I had Coda look at it, and he said, yeah, because he was the first one to try and put it on. He looked at it.
Okay, so we know what comes in the box now.
Yep.
Just the scope. All right. Glass origin is Japan. Waterproof. I could not find anything on this scope to claim it's how waterproof it is. So I don't know if it's not waterproof at all, if it'll fog up when you take it outside, or maybe you can go scuba diving with it and it'll be just fine. I don't know. I wasn't able to find anything on whether or not it was waterproof. Now, how important is that? Well, I think it's pretty important, especially if you're hunting or a competitor. We shoot a lot of matches in the rain and not so good weather sometimes, the snow. So I think that's kind of an important one to hit right there. So anyway, I would like to know whether or not it's waterproof, and if it is, to what level. The warranty is lifetime and transferable. We got a price. I'm going to talk about price towards the end because I had a couple of thoughts on price or taking the price of the optic and comparing that price to the value that you're getting in the optic. So initial review, again, I've had very limited time with this scope. I have not shot with it yet. You brought it over late last week, brought it in here. I've taken it outside several times. I've looked through it. I've run the turrets. I've done everything there is to do with it except shoot it, right? Still, I haven't had a lot of time with it. The 8 mil per revolution. Come on, guys. Let's get 10, please. All right. I think every scope manufacturer should be striving for 10 mil per revolution. Mm-hmm. Now, the one thing I will point out, though, is because it's easy to get lost because we think in tens, or if you're MOA, you think in quarters, right? When you get to that 10 mark and then you go, or excuse me, when you get to that 8 mark and you go past it, there are numbers above the main line that tell you where you are at. So that does help, and they're very visible, even with my tired eyes. So at least they did that part, and I do appreciate
that. See, and the other way you can look at that, too, is that put a little bit of spacing between the marks.
Yeah.
You know, the old guys can see where they are instead of having just that old blur at the bottom.
Right.
I'm talking for Jason.
Yeah, I hear you.
I'm the one talking.
The turrets themselves, I looked for words on how to describe the turrets on this. I think they're a little bit, they're very tactile. Yeah, run that turret. I mean, you'll be able to hear it in the background. Very audible. Now, that scope right now is about 3 feet away from my microphone, so you can hear that plain as day, right? And they are very tactile, but it seems like the spacing between them, and I don't have any other better way to describe this. This is one of those things you'd have to, you need to get behind the scope and run the turret to know what I'm talking about. And you guys, Alan's kind of got this look on his face like, yeah, I kind of know where you're headed. Can you just describe that?
It's go ahead. Chunky. The detents are chunky. I don't really
like
know.
It's going into a deep recess and coming back out.
Yeah,
and, you know,
yeah,
it's like, don't.
Real
positive.
Yeah, it's not positive like tangent theta positive. It's positive like the detents are far apart with massive valleys. Like they're, I mean, I guess positive, but it's not wrong, I guess. It's chunky.
It's not smooth by any stretch.
It's kind of like Gen 2 razor. You know, very Gen 2 razor.
Oh, that'd be a good, yeah, that would be good.
It's just chunky, you know, which not a bad thing, but.
If you want to call them peaks and valleys, mm-hmm. I feel like the peaks are very sharp with the intention that as those peaks smooth out or round off with usage, it smooths out, you know, kind of like any factory action mm-hmm. when you first get it. I mean, any factory action doesn't feel amazingly smooth, but, you know, the more you use it, the more it smooths
and
out.
And they are good. I mean, it does drop into the same spot. You can't stop it in between the clicks or anything. Yeah. I mean, it's good.
Yeah, I'm not knocking it. It's just it's hard to describe, and it's just a different feel. But anyway, tracking. So I thought that I had a calibrated tracking target, the one that I have, or I thought I had both mil and MOA. Apparently, my mil target, I don't know if we took it out the range and shot it one day and threw it away, but it's gone, and those calibrated targets, they're not freaking cheap. So the only one I had was MOA. So I made on cardboard. I did the best I could with the tools that I had available to me. I did mic them out, so they're really close. But I did 1 mil graduations. I took it out, leveled the target, set the rifle back on a rest, got it locked in really, really well, centered up the crosshairs to the center of my calibration target, and continued to run the turrets up and down, left, right, ran them all over the place. As an example, let's say I went 4 mils up and 4 mils right. Have a box over there or a point where those lines should intersect. And it was a little bit off. Before everybody says, oh, these things don't track, that's not what I'm saying. Let me preface all that by saying that that target is not calibrated, okay? It is something that I drew up with a marquee and a 4 foot level, okay? And the distance, I set that up for 1.8 inches, so 50 yards. My distance is not calibrated. It's really, really close. But I could potentially be a half a yard or a yard off shorter or longer. So let me start by saying that. The one thing I will say is as much as I ran those turrets, every time I came back to zero on windage and elevation, crosshairs were still centered on the dot. So they came back to the point of origin. So it seems to track. Once I get a calibrated target, we'll run a true tracking test. I'll be able to validate the distance and all that, and we'll do a proper test on that. The glass, I mean, that's what we all look for in a scope. That's the first thing we look for, right, is glass. Claims to be Japanese glass in there. I think it's good. I think the glass is really good. You know, my eyes, 52 years old. I know, Joel, you're kind of falling in that same category.
I'm there.
It's tougher for me to tell the difference in some glass or the difference between some scopes. Say, like, you two can. You guys see things that I don't see sometimes. I don't see CA as bad as some people see it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the contrast, I see it differently. I do think that I probably have some type of, you know, there's certain colors in the spectrum or shades in the spectrum that my eyes see differently than everybody else's. So, you know, if I took, say, a Gen 2 Razor and compared it to a Zero Comp or Tangent Theta, and I've looked through both of those and considered buying one, I honestly could not tell the difference. Now, that I know there's a difference because people tell me there is, all right? But my eyes don't see that. What I'm trying to say is when I look through this glass, I don't see that much of a difference in that than, say, I almost want to say a Gen 2 Razor. I almost want to say that. It's not as good. I know it.
As a Gen 2.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say more on par with like the PST type.
PST, glass. I'm thinking that it's...
Yeah.
Because I had them side by side, and they're close.
I would definitely say optically, it is definitely better than like a Diamondback.
Way to set the bar low.
Well, I mean, we got to find somewhere in the middle. We got to give people out there to listen. Mm-hmm. And I don't know the Athlon line that well. If we had, you probably know a little bit.
Yeah, better. I think they're close to the Helos, Halos, whatever it is, Helos. It's probably pretty close to that. I would put it very close to the Venom and the Strike Eagle, but it's hard to tell because the size of the scopes are so different. I know that the SH4 and EP5 line are very close to the Vortec, but look into the Vortec Venom in the Gen 2 PST. Honestly, the Vortec's stepping their game up. I mean, they closed the gap a lot, enough that I think they should discontinue that product line. The PST needs to just go away.
Not a huge fan of the PST, and I don't know how many of them, but I'd just soon run a Strike Eagle as the PST just because light, a little bit more forgiving eye box. And
yeah, what I would like to see is them take the turret system from the PST and put it on the Strike Eagle. That would be a step up.
Yeah.
But I think that's about where the Arkans land is right there in that same line of optics. I mean, they've been pretty impressive. Really, the only big gripe I've got is with that erector tube hanging out the bottom, it really limits your one-piece scope mounts. Theirs is a little bit different. It's more tapered in the middle to the erector system. But that if you want to use something like it won't fit in a Sphere unless you get above the 1.2 mount. You got to go huge to give it room.
Just on your way up in the air
in the belly down there.
Yep. So same thing with a lot of the cantilever mounts. They won't work. You've really kind of limited to their mount or going to AR height rings, which sucks. I talked to them at SHOT Show about it. I would like to see them resolve the erector tube. I think if they shrink it down just enough that you can at least use the popular one piece mounts, that would be a huge step up.
Yeah, and that Arkan mount right there
is not bad.
Pretty god darn nice.
It's not bad.
It's solid.
Is that aluminum or steel? I honestly don't know. Is it? I didn't put a magnet on or anything, but it looks sexy as hell. I mean, that is a really nice one-piece mount, I think. Parallax. It parallaxes all the way down to 10, goes all the way out to infinity. When I took it outside, I set it at about 100, and I was looking at stuff across the field that's 700-800 yards away, and I went all the way down to about 55-60 yards on a 100-yard parallax. So parallax is pretty god darn forgiving on those.
Yeah, I did notice that it keeps everything clear. It's not like you have to adjust it to bring everything in focus. There's definitely parallax shift if you move your head around. And it is pretty picky on that front.
But if I was just viewing for targets, mm-hmm. and that wasn't the important thing at that time, everything was clear. Given, I mean, that's a wide swing.
I'd agree with that, yeah.
Right. Yeah, and if you had a good cheek weld.
So that was good there. Going back to the website and the scope. So there's a PDF link on the website to open up the manual. I wanted to open it up and read through it. The website directed me to a totally different URL, and it asked for my email address so somebody could share a file with me. I don't like that. I do not like that. It doesn't say whether it's a secured path or not, and I'm just not going to take that chance. I don't think I should have to go be redirected to somebody else's website to pull up a manual on a scope that I just bought, right? So, again, website needs some work. We'll talk a little bit more about that here in a bit. Reviews on this, there was only one on this particular scope on their website. And I'll be honest, the review looked like it was AI generated. It was one of those, like you would see on Facebook when somebody advertises and they get paid, mm-hmm. I'm going to pay you $5 to say some good things.
Like an overly raving review.
Yeah, where you've never even heard of this product before. Oh, I bought 10 and blah, blah, blah. So I didn't have a whole lot of faith in that review. I wasn't able to find much else, but I didn't spend a lot of time on researching other reviews, so I will say that. Warranty. I got a little bit of issue on warranty. So the website says lifetime transferable warranty, but it does not provide me with any detail about the contractual obligation that they would have with that warranty, right? So, you know, we'll use Athlon or Vortex as an example. If I take one of those Gen 2 Razors or Strike Eagle or whatever, pull it off the rifle, take it out in the driveway, run over it with the truck, send it back to Vortex, they'll fix it or send me a new one, right? Now, I'm not saying that they should do that, right? And I'm not saying any manufacturer should be responsible for stupidity, but I want to know, what does my lifetime warranty mean? So if something happens to that scope and I send it back in, when can I reasonably expect to have it back? If you're not able to fix it, are you going to send me a new one? Just a little bit more detail on that warranty would be really be nice. Other than that, I really don't have much to say there. Yeah, the website, like I said, leaves a lot to be desired. Needs a little bit of work. There's some details that are missing from the description on these that I think that they need to work on. But overall, not bad. So pros on this. The pros are eye relief is good. They're claimed 3.5 inches. I'm going to say, yeah, I will agree. It's got good eye relief. Even at high magnification, it's not bad. Deej and I, our length of pole is pretty similar. Now, where our head rests as far as elevation on the stock is totally different. But typically, our length of pole is pretty similar. Deej has got this mounted on a SCAR 16 right now. I pulled the buttstock all the way out, got behind it, boom, I was right in there. I took it in 2 notches just to see how that eye relief would change. And what are those notches? Probably a 1/4 inch?
About a half, I think.
Probably about a half.
I think they're a centimeter, actually.
A centimeter?
Yeah, well, of course, so 3/8.
FN's going to do everything in metric, of course. But took it in a couple notches, got behind it, and my eye relief was still good. So that tells me that having that forgiving eye box, especially in a competition type setting, because you know sometimes that's going to change when you get in those really weird positions where your head's either a little bit closer or further away from that scope, it's nice to know that it's got
a good eye. And it's got a fairly forgiving eye box on it.
So that was good. Clarity and contrast. For the money they're asking for that scope, that's pretty darn hard glass to beat right there. Cons, 8 mil per rev. We need to get 10. Let's work on that. Track record, don't have a whole lot of track record on Arkin. You know, there's not. If you go to a match, you
let me get it through with 1.3 gun. We'll know if it survives or not.
Yeah. But yeah, you're not going to walk down a line and see a ton of Arkins, right? At least not at this point.
Not right now. They're fairly new. The only reason I knew about them is because of Joel.
But yeah, they need a track record, and I think if they stay on the scene, I think they'll
expect to see this more on the rim fire side of things than the center fire.
Agree.
I think they're like 3 gun because the furthest I think we've ever shot on 3 gun is 600 yards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So it's good for that. The forgiving eye box, good for that. You know, the lower range would be good, but
the reticle is still usable at 6 power, and that's like a couple of the earlier Ritons. And you remember we did the Burris XTR3, and you remember we took it all the way down to I think it's like a 4 or 5. The reticle literally just disappeared. I mean, it was gone, it was totally not usable. This one, you can actually still see the reticle at 6, so that's good.
Yeah.
These also, something people don't realize about these is they have a wider field of view than any other scope except zero comp and tangent theta by a long shot. If you basically take the lowest.
That's level, in the 30 millimeter though, right?
I don't know which one. It's just the claim is that you take the lowest level of field of view versus the highest level of field of view, and then you just take an average and you look at all the scopes. All means all, I guess. Though I'm getting this from Sniper's Hide. Frank Galley has a guy on his staff there that does very, very scientific in-depth scope reviews. And I think it was on one of Frank's latest podcast, he interviewed the guy. And the guy was just explaining how he tests field of view and things like that with scopes. And Arkin was at the top by a long shot compared to most scopes on the market. So it's kind of an interesting thing. It's like you may not think that matters, but in a hunting situation, if you're using it, now most guys aren't going to use it to glass, but the point is you zoom out a little bit, you're going to have a lot more information available to you than most scopes. Mm-hmm. It's kind of an interesting.
Even for competition, though, yeah. Having a little that wider field of view mm-hmm. definitely helps a lot of times.
So just throwing it out there as a plus, because
especially as a newer shooter, yeah. The guys who are having a hard time managing recoil or finding targets. Yeah, you know, there's a lot to be said.
About they don't it. Have the muscle memory behind
yep,
the scope.
Yep, you know. Exactly.
Oh, I can see it there, and your scope lines up with where you're looking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as far as my grading or overall rating for, so I grade on a just typical 1 to 5 stars or whatever. So 1 being the lowest, 5 being the best. Features, you know, I gave it a 3.5, or really probably should grade it a little bit higher than that. For those out there listening, when it comes to me, particularly me grading a product, very seldomly do I give out a 5 to, I mean, it's gotta be spectacular to be a 5. So 3.5, I really think that ought to be a 4. With the incorporated zero stop, you know, the glass clarity. The one thing I don't like about the scope itself is the reverse magnification ring. Most scopes, you increase magnification by turning it clockwise and you decrease by turning it counterclockwise. This one is bass-ackwards. I could get used to it if I was using it all the time. It wouldn't bother me, but initially, yeah, it would throw me off. And I'd like to know why they did it that way. Are European scopes like that?
Because I European know they do. Scopes are always backwards. They're we always played around with some Schmitz and even the elevation turrets backwards from what we're used to. So
depends on what you order with Schmitt, because they do clockwise, counterclockwise. They do left hand. They do. You'd think it wouldn't really matter, but yeah, it does.
The Zeiss is backwards.
Yeah, Zeiss is too.
What is it? Oh, Collis puts their
Hendrick.
Collis puts their Hendrick parallax up on top, right?
Yeah, it's on underneath the elevation turret.
Right. So, I don't know. I could get used to it if I was running it all the time, but it's just one of those things. It's just one of those nitpicky things.
Yeah, we'll get to the Arkin, but we should talk about that new Collis.
Yeah. I saw your little chat about it out there at SHOT Show. Mm-hmm. Tracking, unconfirmed. I'm going to say that it tracks well. I'm going to blame it on my target and my distance. Again, every time I ran it up, down, left, right, it always came back to zero. So, we're going to call that good. Turrets, I'm going to give them a 3.5. That's my thought on it. Clarity, 4. Eye relief, 4. Weight, 4. Ergonomics. I don't know why I put a 2 down. I must have fat fingered that. I'm going to give ergonomics a 3.5. And the only reason I would not give it a 4 or even higher is that backwards magnification ring. So ergonomics on that. Yeah, I just don't understand why the hell they did that. The warranty, really 2.5 on that, just because there's some information that I think as a consumer you need to know. What does that warranty cover? Customer service and track record, really unconfirmed on that. You know, they're fairly new to the industry. There's just not a lot of them out there yet. I really just don't think they've been run that long. You know, somebody buys a scope like this, puts it on their hunting rig that they shoot 20 rounds through a year, you're not going to see where that scope's going to fail for probably 10 years. They're going to bring it out, they're going to shoot a few rounds, confirm zero, go out, kill a deer, put the gun away. That's the last we ever see of it. Now, you put it in on a competition rifle, you're going to learn real quick what that scope's made of, right? You know, I think that part comes in long-term testing on this scope, see if it's going to hold up. Are you going to run this? Are you really going to run this on 3-gun?
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I'll bring a backup rifle too, but yeah.
So you're going to run a 6 to 25?
I bring a backup rifle for everything.
So if it's going to break, it'll break this year.
Oh, yeah.
With all the throwing around that happens in 3-gun.
Oh, yeah, because I break everything anyway. Yeah, the only 2 guns I haven't broken in a match are the Scar.
Yeah, Scar hasn't broken.
Do you feel like this is a fair test, then, of the durability of the product?
We didn't say nothing about fair. We said a test.
I think we'll probably test the warranty before the year's up.
And the Rock Island. I ain't broke the Rock Island yet.
Well, I did go down that one day. The shotgun?
Yeah, but that was because it was colder than hell. That wasn't the shotgun's fault.
No, I remember it got too hot.
That's what it was. Yep.
Ammo swelled up inside the magazine.
Swelled up. Yep. That's what it was. Yeah. I knew it was something with temperature.
Yeah. You and I had the same malfunction on the same stage, and we figured it out real quick. We took the magazines, stuck them on the floorboard of the truck for the next stage, turned the air conditioning on. It was 98 degrees out that day.
Yeah.
About 10 minutes in the air conditioning, brought them back out, ran the next stage, didn't have a single malfunction the rest of the day. So in between, so then when we did the big team match, remember we took the cooler.
Yeah,
and we put all the magazines in the cooler. Yeah, to keep the ammo and the magazines cool, so they, that cheap.
Yeah, we was laughing at everybody else doing it before that. Oh, they're getting them out, their ammo out of a cooler. They're doing this. They're doing. Oh yeah, that would.
We do need to do that the whole weekend, right? So that worked. So my overall rating 3.5. I really think it probably ought to be a little bit higher than that, but there are some things that it's missing.
The final details.
Yeah, just a few things now. We haven't talked about price, okay? I want to go back to price. So this scope list on their website for $489.99, they've got 25% off discount right now with Save 25. Brings it down to $367. For $367, this is a badass scope.
Yeah, it's absolutely. There's nothing else that competes with it in that price point, I don't think.
The only thing even probably close that I'm familiar with, very familiar with, would be like a Diamondback.
And this is way beyond a Diamondback.
That's light years ahead of a Diamondback. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Venom, the new Venom, that 3-15 is $449. The 525 is $499. So, yeah. I mean, it falls into a really tough price point to beat.
So, I want good things to come out of this, because if they can make a scope that will hold up to the abuse that we're going to put it through, and at that price point, if they don't get too big for their britches,
they're going to be selling a bunch.
Everybody else better be looking out.
Yep. That, like Alan was saying, I think the target market for competition is going to be the rimfire guys, just because of the glass and all that. But they could sell a lot of them through that. And then for hunting scopes and stuff like that, I think they're going to be hard to beat.
Yeah, and you know that reticle that's in this particular scope, What did I say? That's their VMR reticle, EP Light. No, EP Light is the...
It's the model.
Model.
Mm-hmm. The VHR, the variable hunter reticle. I would say it's reminiscent of like a Night Force Mil-C. One straight line up, one straight line across with graduations on it. There's no Christmas tree.
I want to pop it.
Now, the competition one that they've got has got a Christmas tree in it. I like that. I actually like that reticle. I like Christmas trees, and if I was going to build a hunting rig and I needed that much magnification, that would be a pretty darn serious contender. Yeah. What are you guys' thoughts on it?
I like it. I'd like to get out to the range. I haven't actually shot the EP yet, so.
There. Yeah. Neither have I. I put it on, Boris sighted it, and I was hoping Jason would go ahead and zero it out for me, but oh no.
Yeah, I played around with the other two, and they are a contender. We actually re-hooked up with them at SHOT Show so that we can bring them into the shop. So we were planning on carrying them to fit that price point.
I think they're a really good value for where they're at. Mm-hmm. We'll see if they hold up or not.
Yeah, and I'm struggling to remember. I know I did a review video back in the fall. It was just before Thanksgiving, and... I do so many videos, you guys, and so many different projects each week that I'm struggling to remember all the details. But
it was all favorable, though, from what I remember.
For the most part, it was favorable, yeah. I'm not a... you got to keep it in proper perspective, right? So, I mean, a capped windage turret is great for hunters. Generally, I don't like that. I want an exposed turret because sometimes I dial my wind on, and sometimes I don't, and I don't want to have to fart around with a cap on there. So to me, it's a little bit of a downside, you know. I also don't like that, what do you call the little nub on the bottom?
The
erector tube, yeah, mm-hmm. That sticks out. It causes you to have to use a taller, you know, mount than you would like to have to use. That's a downside.
Even though
but it's
with
not
the mount
too
that's on it, I mean, that thing's sitting off the rail, what?
It's not bad.
It's sitting off the rail, but the scar's super high off the barrel. So
yeah, it is on a scar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I, most of it's favorable for me. I think the glass is decent. I also did a tracking test on it. I don't remember if that made it into the video or not, but my tracking test was good. And just a piece on that maybe people know or don't know is that all scopes manufacturers, with very few exceptions, are allowing 1 to 2% error mm-hmm. in their tracking results. And it just, that sounds like, oh, they're planning on having it have error. Well, yeah, but you're never going to notice that. It's like shooting inside of a tenth of an inch. Like, you're never going to notice that difference downrange. You know what I mean? And that's the same with this. It's like, you're just never going to notice that little bit of error. So even if the tracking isn't 100% perfect, most scopes aren't. Yep. There's error in just about every scope out there mm-hmm. to some degree. So it's just a matter of how big is that error. But the return to zero is a big one.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
It seemed good for me. You said it seemed good. So, and the glass is good. I mean, they don't claim this. You guys that have heard me talk about it, like I say this, I think the glass is on par with a lot of other $1,000 optics. I'm not saying just as good as, like, in total with features thrown in and, you know, all the different things. But the glass specifically, I think, is on par with a lot of other $1,000 optics out there. That's just...
It definitely outperforms its weight class.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really the weak spot on these cheaper optics is when you put it at max. You bump it all the way up. That's where you see the just rapidly diminishing returns on your magnification. But I agree. It's good.
For PRS, the covered windage, like Joel says a lot of times... with PRS, wherever you're doing, you're going to pre-dial your wind, so then you're that much closer. But for like three gun,
we're not dialing wind.
We're not
even dialing in.
No, most of the time we're doing holdovers. If we get a long stage, then we'll dial.
Well, I think, honestly, I don't know, this is obviously opinion-based, but I think that the trenches are going towards what ZCO is doing, where no matter what's happening with the elevation, a locking windage turret... That way it's exposed when you need it exposed, it's locked when you need it locked, but having the calf windage when you do need it, it's just something else to lose, it's something else to take off, it's extra threads to get boogered up. So, I mean, I'm not an advocate for calf windage, but I am an advocate for locking windage.
Yeah, me too. Because how many times have you rolled that windage getting in and out of a barricade, mm-hmm. go to shoot, hang on.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of thought that those tangent theta... you know, turret guards. I'm just like, why, right? And then that weekend, shot a match. I'm like, son of a bitch, I get it now. All right, well, rolled a windage and missed by 2 mils. Couldn't figure out what the hell was going on.
So, you rolled it 2 mils?
Yeah, complete. I mean, dude, rolled it. And I tanked that stage. And I was like, I'm like, there's no way my wind calls that off. And
Was Doug Bowes at that match?
Doug was not at that match.
Because he has a tendency to play pranks on people, and I wouldn't put it past Doug to go twist your windage turret 2 miles off.
Yeah, he may mess with me. Either that or Greg Canoyer trying to stuff it. Me. Yeah.
All right, so are we going to recommend it or not? I'm going to say this first. For the price point, yes, I'm going to recommend it based on what I know of it as of this moment.
Yeah, there's a class, category, a group of people out there that have $800 to $1,000 to spend on a rifle, and those folks simply can't afford to match, you know, rifle and scope with that for that price. Like, there's a lot of people out there that can't do that, and I think just value for the price. I absolutely recommend this to people that simply can't afford a bigger budget. I think it's a heck of a deal, and I think you'd be very pleased for most of the guys if you find yourself in that lower tax bracket, we'll call it.
I would recommend it with reservations. Don't know the history yet, don't know how it's going to hold up, and don't know what the warranty really is. Mm-hmm. But we'll probably find out all that.
I'm on the same boat as Deej. Yeah, I recommend it, but with some reservations. I mean, just this price point in general, we do see more scope failures than you do at the $1,000 or $15, $2,000 price point. So, and we have seen them fail. So, but with that said, it's $300, a whole lot easier to swallow a warranty claim on a $300 scope than it is a $3,000 scope. So,
There's no doubt about that.
Cough, cough, Minox. Get your head out of your butt.
going out Minox.
Man, I'm 0 for 3.
You're 0 for 3.
0 for 3.
Oh, 0 for 3.
0 for 3 on Minox.
Really?
Yeah, tracking failures. They work, and then all of a sudden they don't. Yeah.
Isn't that what Art runs?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the glass is incredible, but you know, if they don't work, it doesn't matter. I've now seen in person, seen 7 Minoxes fail, so it's $3,000 price point. This is all post for the guys that are diehard Minox. You know, I'll call Art out here, right?
You know you're going to get some hate mail over this one.
Right, so they changed their box, right? So they knew there was a tracking issue. They changed it over to a white box, and all the ones I've seen fail were the new boxes. So,
really?
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Yeah, it is too bad.
Because they got good reticles. They got great glass.
My favorite reticle, that MR4, is one of my all-time favorite reticles. Turns are good.
Yeah, that's one of them perfect reticles.
Yeah, my first experience with it was when we shot that Battle of the States match. We were looking at that. It is an 800-yard target that was tucked into a wood line. It was very hard to see. Most of us were running Gen 2 razors at the time, and it was a hard target to see. And
a lot of mirage day.
Yeah, and yep. Art's looking through, and he's like, it's right there. And he's like, he's getting frustrated with everybody. He's like, it's right there. It's right there next to this tree. And we're like, snatch his scope up. I point at the target, and then I just left his rifle there sitting on the barricade, looked around, I'm like, sure as shit, there's that target, just bright as day.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe how it just ate right through the shadows. And that was my first experience with that nicer glass. And I was like, oh, man, I'm upgrading.
Very well. So, like, we got a general consensus on that. Next segment of the show, I want to talk about who's our dumbass or FUD of the week? Anybody want to go first?
I can't narrow that many customers down, man.
There's got to be one favorite. Let me tell you what mine is. Anybody that knows me knows that I absolutely adore lever guns. And last year or so, the tactical lever gun market is just freaking exploding. You got Mad Pig out there. You got everybody doing all these custom stocks and saddles. And I've freaking love it. You've got Henry out with her new magazine fed lever action. Bond Arms is coming on with their AR upper magazine fed lever action.
Aero Precision
is dropping one. Mm-hmm. You've got Smith & Wesson jumping into the lever action market, which that's a beautiful looking rifle. I love that black, against that silver cut. It's so beautiful. And all the FUDs out there poo-pooing it. So F you. Lever guns are cool. Get over it. If you don't like it, tough. I don't care. All right. I'm going to die on this hill. Lever guns are here to stay. They're never going to go away.
Yeah. And Arrow's new one, they dropped it into that. I don't want to say chassis, but it's kind of what it is. They're actually retrofitting it backwards. So they're going to make it work with the Marlins and the Ruger. So if you don't like the wood, you can pull the wood off and put their tactical whatever.
See, it's cool, isn't it?
Oh yeah. I'm a dork for that kind of stuff. Suppressed lever actions that are all decked out. Yeah, I'm a nerd over that.
Right there.
So
throw a Thunder Beast on a 30-30 and go out. Oh my God, that thing is just whisper quiet. It is so much fun to shoot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So to all you FUDs out there who don't like the lever gun market, tough. Get over it. It's here to stay. All right, your guys' turn.
I had a guy try to tell me yesterday that the 165 Sierra Match King is cream de la creme, top of the line bullet. Now, keep in mind that the Marine Corps stopped using the 168 in 1991. Okay, so the 165 predates that by another
30 caliber.
308 Winchester, okay. 165 Sierra Match King. That it is supersonic to 1,500 yards. And I could not convince this guy that he was wrong. He knows what he knows.
He's pushing it, because I'm pretty sure I can get it to 1500.
If anybody can push a bullet that fast, man, that far.
I promise you it'll get there. It'll get there sideways and
you've got a gun. You've got a pile of gun parts right in front of you.
165 was a terrible bullet. And so this guy is just absolutely pressing. But he was also telling me that of a 308 Winchester running 40-64, he's pushing this bullet at 3,200 feet per second. So, I mean, and this guy, you could not convince him otherwise. 100% convinced. Supersonic, 1,500 yards, 3,000 feet per second. I have a 308 Winchester, right? This isn't like he's pushing out of a super magnum. So,
and you took time out of your day to educate him, and he still walked out of the store disagreeing with you.
I tried my damnedest, but there was no educating this time. It's just the diehard sniper guys.
That's when you
was he using a Caldwell chronograph or.
I'm willing to bet that this man didn't know what a chronograph was.
Mm. So he was doing it by the math.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. And then following up with that, I'm shaking my head and I'm sitting there like, I don't understand, right? It can't All right. You know what? At least this is the worst it can get today. Right. I should not have said it out loud because one of my employees, Jesse, he's 5 foot away. And I just look over and you can see the look of just like, I'm not going to do it. He just throws his hands up and walks away. And I'm like, what happened? He's like, he just told me he hip fired a 30-30 and killed his deer at 900 yards this year. And I'm like, holy shit. Like, I shouldn't have said anything about it getting worse. So I'll tell you what, anybody wants
to... Maybe...
And here's what happened. He hip-fired the 30-30, hit the deer. The deer ran 900 yards. Yeah, right. Finally died. And so there's how he got to that.
I'm telling you, anybody who wants to volunteer for a Saturday at the shop, if you think that the gun industry as a whole is positive, you need to come work for me. Give me one Saturday. Just hang out.
How many customers do you want to lose?
No, I didn't say you're allowed there.
You said anybody.
You've been
go
there.
Back, go back. I know.
DJ's witnessed it firsthand, guys.
Go
he
to
knows.
Any public range anywhere.
It's always got your answer. So bad. It's so bad.
It is.
Oh, God. I went out to Williamsburg late last fall. Oh, I took the Black Rain out there to go shoot it first time. There were two guys out there with... 308 bolt action rifles. You could tell I didn't even look, see what kind they were. Had big scopes on there. Again, didn't look, but I could just tell way out of proportion for what they were doing. And I'm not kidding. They were rapid firing bolt action rifles at 25 yards with what looked to be probably 25 or 30 power scopes. Why? What the hell are you even doing out here?
Video games, man. Quick scoping. It's a thing.
I guess. I didn't even think about
but
that.
But were they jumping in the air at the same time?
No, they weren't jumping.
Because you got to jump up, zoom in, take the shot, and then that's how you do it. You guys are looking at me like I'm crazy.
I know. I
got kids. I got kids. I know what you're saying.
I play Battlefield all the time, and I always play a sniper because I can't run around in a video game and play machine gun guy, CQB. I'm not fast enough for these kids that you're playing against because you just die, spawn, back and forth. But as a sniper, I can go hide somewhere, and I have relatively good success on that video game, right? I don't get 40 kills per match. I get about 10 to 15, sometimes 20. But you'll see the guy way out far away. He's playing sniper also. He comes out from behind a building with a spotting scope because you can see the glare from the spotting scope. And then he ducks back in. And then next time he ducks back out, the round's already in the air and I'm dead. And I'm like, I'm laying in the weeds. How did you even find me to begin with? And then you can't get a shot on him because those guys are so fast and they do exactly what you're talking about. They jump back and forth and around. I'm like, quit fucking moving. Just sit still so I can shoot you.
I don't understand how some of these kids process these video games so fast. I mean, it's got to be just time, right? I'm playing with my nephews. I'm just going to choke you out in the living room.
Let's give you the real world definition of this.
Hey, rabbit trail is my fault this time. I'll bring us back. the FUD stories. I'm struggling to come up with anything, but I have seen some pretty good memes lately. I guess they were videos, not memes, but I have a huge pet peeve with two things. Number one, on its face, is just wrong. I think most of us realize. And that's anytime you see a gun instructor standing downrange and making students fire near him, like live fire near him, like just pisses me off every time I see it. And I saw another one recently that was a new one that has
been just popping up more and more recently.
Dude, it's ridiculous. So I can't stand that. And the other one is, you've seen the videos of the guys like... They're running pistols and it's almost like they got a pistol in one hand and like a collie stick in the other, and they're just like doing all these kind of like weird dance move type things.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a big proponent of drawing, moving off the X, but that's another level and it's ridiculous to me. I can't stand that. Like, who taught this, number one? Uh-huh. And if it's not taught, then you're mentally handicapped. You need to just stop it.
McDojo Life page. You need to check out McDojo Life because they have people trying to do martial arts and self-defense and the same kind of stuff you're talking about. And these people are for real. It is absolutely ridiculous and hilarious at the same time. So, yeah, look up McDojo Life. You'll know what I'm talking about. What you got, Deej? Got a FUD story for the week?
I don't think I pissed anybody off this week.
Well, you pissed off Facebook this week because now they're shadow banning all your posts.
I'm always on shadow ban on Facebook. It's just what degree of shadow ban I'm on.
You got chased down by the fact checkers this week on two posts today.
Yeah. Yeah. That's four for the week.
Yeah.
So I'm a little behind schedule, but I'm doing okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one post that fact checkers, Joe Biden didn't say ice cream, ice cream seashells or something like that. I'm like, come on. Somebody really took the time to review like just a joke post, right?
Well, they took the one down about Nikki and the NRA.
Yeah. Yeah. Screw that bitch.
Facebook is going to drive me to insanity. Mm-hmm. It has been a rough week for the Full Circle page.
It's been a rough week for, I've noticed it. Everybody's saying the same thing. A lot of posts are getting flagged, pulled, shadow banned.
We've got,
I mean, they're in full force.
It's the same thing that they did on last election year.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I got 30-day bans so that time.
We've got that suppressor match coming up. And so I shared the post looking for sponsors for the individual stages. And people sharing that post, we had three people message me privately saying that they had their post pulled and they're on a 24-hour ban because they shared a post about us raising money for food.
Like, I remember that.
It's crazy. So
it's ridiculous. And this comes in cycles every couple of years, and they do the same thing, and then it'll happen for a while, and then it kind of goes away, and we all get pissed off and say, I'm done with social media. I'm going to go wait. Well, we don't.
If there was another avenue, I'd be all over it. The only reason I got on Facebook in the first place is you couldn't find...
You were looking for me.
No. I was looking for gun matches.
He was looking for free porn is what he was looking for.
Facebook's got free porn?
Well, if you know the right pages to go look
at. Instagram does. Just jump over there. That's out of control.
I've never been on Instagram. But
the porn, only way to the find porn the and rifle network. Was Facebook. We just renamed the podcast. The Porn and Rifle Network.
Way to bring a sore subject with Joel.
Joel's just, he won't even make eye contact.
You remember
with me
what the first logo was? Mm-hmm. Do you remember
that? I do.
Just the letters, PRN. Uh-huh. And everybody at every match I went to was like, hey, buddy, where's the O? And I'm like,
Porno.
Come on, man. Like, you just seriously just completely ruined this for me.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I can imagine how frustrating that is, but the change of. The new logo is better. It's good.
I appreciate that.
Pretty awesome.
I appreciate it.
So we're running about an hour and 11 minutes right now. You guys want to go another 15, 20 minutes?
Super fast.
It goes pretty darn fast. Yeah.
I'm good to keep going.
Yeah. Let's do
it. So we can stop and record another one, or we just keep going for another 15, 20 minutes, and we'll call it a day. How's that sound?
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
Okay.
Either way.
Sounds good. Want to give a quick shout out. This is not the only podcast out there. I always want to take a moment to kind of recognize other podcasts, at least that I listen to, that I enjoy. And mine for tonight is Carnival Ballistics with Gino and Jamie Christman. Got to know Gino pretty well over the last several months. Actually went up to Wisconsin and had dinner with him and his lovely wife about a month or so ago. He came down and shot the Rimfire Hunter match a couple weeks ago with Art. So he's got a really good podcast, so go check out Carnival Ballistics. If you guys got any that you would like to recommend?
I mean, the Frank Galley's, and then...
Sniper's Hide.
Yes, the Sniper's Hide podcast. Yep. And then, it's not necessarily directly related to to the matches and stuff, but the Fieldcraft Survival podcast, especially with everything that's going on in the world right now, is probably worth taking a look at. They do a lot of preparedness stuff. It's pretty good.
You guys got anyone to add, or... Not, I know I'm putting you on the spot, but I don't know if you wanted to add any.
Funny enough, mine that aren't gun related, the ones you've already mentioned, are psychology. So I'm boring like that.
Oh, psychology can be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Especially if you use it right.
Mm-hmm. You going to start practicing on him?
No. I don't know.
Dude, I've had many of them. Check me out in there. Yeah, you're going to have to go way
this
up your
one's
degree.
Broken. Let's put him back.
So, as everybody knows, this is, I would say, probably our second podcast, even though it's our third. The first one that we did, you actually just released the video today on YouTube.
Today, yep. And it is bombing.
So, is it?
So, if you're listening to this, go watch the video for us, will you? That'd be great.
But then we released the first full one last week. We got some listener feedback on that. Just go through these here real quick. Chad said great job on the podcast, guys. Machu said, good job on the podcast, buddy. And then Joel actually got some feedback from him. Listening in the car today sounded pretty good. I can tell you and Doug were closest to the microphones because you guys sounded great, but everyone else must have been further away from the mics. It was kind of hard to hear him at times. Had to turn up the volume all the way in the van in order to hear clearly. Overall, pretty good, really. Thanks for the review on that. Appreciate it.
Sure. Had I known you were going to bring it up in this podcast, I might have said something shorter. And
well, no, different. I want honest reviews. I want honest feedback from anybody. So we know, you know, this is going to evolve over time. It's going to, the format's going to change a little bit until we kind of find our groove.
And hopefully it gets better.
And we're adding more microphones. I mean, of course we want it to be better. Yeah. Speaking of which,
he's referring to the last.
Yeah.
Last
speaking week, of which, yeah. You and I need to have a conversation after this.
Uh-oh, I'm in trouble.
Do you owe me any money? If you do, just go ahead and pay me now.
No, I don't owe you nothing right now.
You're fired.
All right.
It wouldn't be the first time.
All right. So we got a few match announcements here. NRL 22 at Gadsden Shooting Center in Iberia, Missouri, February 10th. Your match directors are Matt Woody and Dwayne Norton, otherwise known as Squad 5. You can check them out on the Missouri Misfits page, Facebook, or you can go to Practice Score for the registration and match details there. Kirk Burkhead has got the Muddy Creek Rimfire Hunter match coming up. That will be a team match. Again, Rimfire will be the first of two matches held this year. That's going to be on March 2nd, which is a Saturday. That range, I think it's in Coffee, Missouri. Is that right?
It's Coffee.
Right? Yeah.
Not too far from Trenton.
So what, that's probably an hour north of Kansas City, something like that?
Probably a little bit more than that, but not much, yeah.
So in the Kansas City area, up in there in that kind of tri-state area, Iowa, getting close.
Right? Yeah, getting close, but yeah.
Nebraska.
Trenton, Chillicothe.
Have you guys ever shot there?
Yes.
You have.
Yep.
Yeah. I have not.
I have not.
We know Kirk. Great guy. But I've never shot one of his matches. I know he's been trying to get us up there for a while. But everybody I've ever talked to said he puts on a hell of a match. So
it's a good time.
And I think he had a couple hundred matches last year, I believe.
I didn't make the one last year. But the year before, I made it to two matches up there.
The 100 match?
Nope.
Oh, just regular
one was. Match? No, I think they were both regular. The 100 match, I couldn't make it to because it was too close to Nationals.
I got you. I've heard good feedback. So we know Kirk. He's a great guy, and I'm sure he puts on a hell of a match. That goes open, is open for registration on February 7th. Look on Practice Score, or you can follow Muddy Creek Rimfire on Facebook or search on Practice Score, like I said. Gadsden, again, in Gadsden, they got a pistol match coming up on February 11th. Missouri Steel Tactical Centerfire on February 24th. That's on a Saturday. Stay the night and come out on Sunday and shoot the Most Rimfire match on February 25th, which is a Sunday. Arnold Rifle and Pistol Club down in Arnold, Missouri, NRL 22, February 17th. Again, you can check out the Missouri Misfits page or search Practice Score for the link to that. Again, that's at Arnold Rifle and Pistol Club. Your match directors are Logan Crisfoli and Jake Dobbins, or you can also look on arnoldgunclub.org. And then finally, as far as matches, I'm just going to announce a match, and Alan, will let you walk away with it. Full Circle Reloading and Firearms, suppressor-only match, second annual.
Yep, second annual.
We didn't make it last year. But
man, we are pumped about this. So we did a trial run last year and was overwhelmingly successful. We had a full match despite it being on high school graduation weekend pretty much across the entire state, which nobody's missing their kids' high school graduation for a shooting match. So we still had a full turnout and so much positive feedback that we were actually considering doing a monthly match for a little while. We had so many people asking for it, but we just logistically couldn't figure it out. So this will be an annual thing, but we blew it up this year. So last year was just one day at Missouri Mile. Squeaked it in on a bad weekend just because that's what availability had with the schedule last year. So this time we got it bumped out. It'll be a two-day PRS match that account for Missouri Steel Tactical points as well as regional points. 100% suppress. We'll have originally 20 loner suppressors, but AB suppressor just stepped up. Talked to Ethan Buckley. He's our rep over there. Contacted their rep out of Springfield. They told me not to pull any loner cans out of our inventory. They're going to bring as many as we need. So
holy crap.
They're going to have a booth set up. They're going to do a bunch of giveaways, prize table stuff. We're talking about doing a bonus match, or not a match, rather a stage that won't actually count for points. It's just a fun thing. You get done shooting, you're going to go do this thing. Right now, we're considering a 45-70 at 500 yards. You get two shots. If you hit the target, you go into a draw and you win a free can. So,
nice.
So we're super pumped about that. Area 419 stepped up. Vortex stepped up. A bunch of local companies. So, you know, we've got a bunch of money coming in, and everything's going to go back into the match. We're not Full Circle's not trying to make a bunch of money off this. We're really, really striving to turn this into an event. All right, so day one will be at Gadsden Shooting Center. That evening, we're going to have festivities after the match so everybody can hang out. We're going to do food and drinks, and everybody can just hang. With it being 100% suppressed, last year, 7 out of the 8 squads actually had music playing, which I've never walked down an entire line of music before, which was awesome. But with it being suppressed, we also had a ton of kids show up. I had my littles out there at the time. We had the little one. I think he's only 5 months old at the time. And then we've got a whole truck full of the inside of my truck was just Sharpie and crayon to hell. It was everything, right? But we're actually gonna have a bounce house out at the range. So anybody who's got family, they can bring them out. Right? With it being 100% suppressed, you don't have all the normal issues of a shooting match, right? So. So it'll be day one at Gadsden, festivities after, and then day two at Missouri Mile. So ranges are about 35 minutes apart. And so logistically, there's no issues. Wherever you stay on day one, you can stay there and just drive 35 minutes to the second part of the match. It's turning out to be something cool. And we recently opened up the individual stages to sponsorship. We're trying to raise $150 a stage. All of that money is going to go into the festivities after day one. So food and drinks, and if we get money, a live band, whatever, we're really trying to turn this into something cool.
Or you get a really cool band that wants to just volunteer their time and come out and have a good time.
Yep.
Put the bassist behind a rifle and let him shoot.
All about it.
Yeah.
What's the date again?
July 6th and 7th. Yeah, that's pretty important, I guess. July 6th and 7th.
What days is that?
That'll be a Saturday, Sunday.
Saturday and Sunday.
It'll be a full-blown weekend. As of right now, we're talking about having people come out to Gadsden Friday evening. So anybody who needs a tune-up or check dope or whatever, the range will be open for a little bit. We'll have most of the range blocked off. Obviously, we don't want people to shoot in the stages, but the main firing line will be open. So,
an assumption that Chad's going to open up both houses for
and RRs. Not an assumption. I already talked to him. Both houses are open. You'll have to reach out to Chad Francis with Gadsden specifically to set all that up. That doesn't have anything to do with Full Circle Reloading. So, reach out to Chad Francis. He can get you set up. He'll have the two bunk houses, and then he'll have, I think he said 15. RV hookups. With electric. So yep.
Can do primitive camping
too. You can do primitive camping as well. So it's
very reasonable price.
Very reasonable. I think the clubhouse is $20 a night.
Uh-huh.
So yep. No reason not to come out to this match, and especially for the Illinois guys who want to shoot. Guys, we were gonna have a shit ton of suppressors. Come out and shoot. We will make sure you have a suppressor to shoot.
We may end up with some new Missouri residents after that.
I'm hoping. with the turnout we're having, we haven't confirmed yet, but I talked to the marketing director at Silencer Co. while we were at SHOT Show, and they're talking about sending us some demos out. So we will have Silencer Co., whatever Full Circle is bringing out, all of the AB stuff. It's we're gonna have some cool stuff out. I'm really excited about this match.
Do you need ROs for that match?
We are at least on the long range stages. We definitely want to have dedicated ROs. Obviously, if we can have every stage RO, that'd be great. But with this being our first real match, we don't have the clout to bring in 16 ROs. So
man, I don't know.
But we'll see. We're gonna give it a shot. If nothing else, the long range. We're actually gonna shut the shop down for that weekend. We're gonna close it. So I have my employees out. So
that's awesome.
We'll have a booth open. We'll have precision rifle stuff, you know, whatever, bags, chronographs, whatever. We'll have a little booth set up with product so people can bring out.
That's cool. That's cool. What's the cost going to be?
Right now, tentatively, it's $185. So,
really?
Yeah.
For a two-day match.
Yeah. So what we were
that's
trying,
all inclusive.
Intentionally trying to keep it under $200. We're waiting to find out. We have to get a little bit close. But right now, it will be under $200. It won't be over $200. We wanted it to be the ranges are close enough, the lodging is cheap enough, and the match fee is cheap enough. There's no reason to not come out and shoot this. If we can get it big enough, we're hoping to turn this into a national qualifier. If we could turn this into a full-blown two-day match, because there isn't a match like this in the country. We looked, we couldn't find anything. The closest that comes anything to this is Silent Night. But that's at one range, and they didn't host for like 3 or 4 years.
And they literally shoot at night.
Yep. Yep. So this is, 100% suppressed, two different ranges, two completely different courses of fire, and there's nothing like it. So
and these ranges are what, probably 40 minutes apart?
Yeah, right at 35. Yeah.
So you're right. For those that don't know, Gas and Shooting Center is pretty much right dead center in Missouri, right there. Let's just call it, it's at Lake of the Ozarks. I know it's 30 minutes away, but that gives you a really good reference.
Yeah, and Max Creek's just on the other side of that part of the lake.
Yeah, so it's a nice drive. The beautiful country down there. If you were going to fly in, St. Louis is only 2 hours away. Kansas City, it's a little bit further to KC. But, you know, if you had somebody that was flying in, pretty convenient as far as getting to a range after you get to the airport.
And plenty of lodging. I mean, I think.
Yes.
I know that the main bunkhouse right there physically on the range, I think, sleeps 8 or 10.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, let's just say 8.
And then the new bunkhouse has,
I think it's 16.
16.
Yeah, so, you know, plenty of room. But so between that and the campsites, I mean, even if money is an issue, I mean, $20 a night, pretty easy to swallow.
It really is.
Which closest hotel is Camdenton?
Closest hotel is probably be Camdenton.
It's kind of Camdenton, or you go down to like Rolla, Waynesville area, or even Jeff City, it's all roughly 35 minutes away.
Yeah, so last year we went in with some of my buddies. We had all of our families come out. We went on an Airbnb right at the lake, and we were 35 minutes from Missouri Mile. So worst case scenario, we were an hour away, which is still better than most people are driving to get to a match anyway. So it's a win across the board.
And if they're not already reserved for that weekend, there's 2 rooms at Hard Times Bar and Grill there.
Not anymore.
Oh, really?
Nope. They shut them down.
Oh, man. Well, that sucks. Well, you still go there for the best hamburger in Missouri.
They are good. Yeah.
It is the best hamburger in Missouri. And anybody disagrees with me, just leave it. Really, just drop what you're doing and leave right now. Leave the scar.
Oh, man. No. It goes with me.
Yeah, we're excited. We're really excited about this match.
So at Gaston, we got roughly 1,000 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Missouri Mile.
It will have, I think their main fire line is 1,250. So. Yeah. We won't shoot the mile. Yeah. I heard that they had a building built and they actually lost a mile right now. So Missouri Mile doesn't have a mile. But I think their main fire line is 1250. We'll have hit indicators on everything. I know that's a big deal to some guys. So everything over 700 will have hit indicators on it. All the long range stages will have a dedicated RO. So
I'm sure it's going to be a great time. And you got Steve Roper helping you out.
Yeah, so Steve is my co-match director. He's actually putting in a lot of footwork. So anybody who's, if you come across Steve or you feel like reaching out, he's putting in a shit ton of work for us. I mean, he's really hitting it hard.
Yeah.
So between the two of us, I mean, we're both shooters. So it's not like we're not gonna have any gimmick stages. We're not doing that. But it will be hard. I mean, we're gonna have some hard stages. But
you got a rough round count yet?
For round count will be probably 85-ish rounds on day one. And that'll be at the Doug Bowes. He's actually helping us finalize the course of fire for that. And then it'll be about the same for day two. So I hoping somewhere in that 150, 165 range for the 2 days.
Yeah. Gonna be hot as balls. July 6th and 7th.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's find the hottest fucking day.
Yeah, no, we only have so many open.
The other problem down at the lake is 4th of July weekend.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, if you're considering coming down to that match and you want to book,
you if you're going to book hotels, now. You want to book way ahead of time. Yeah, like so we actually already booked ours. We're sleeping. I'm bringing out the 4 kids, the wife, 2 long range instructors, and 2 employees, and we had to get that booked way ahead of time. So
right, yeah,
motel did you book out?
It's you'll know which one it is. Just swing by. I'll be out front with my pants real low.
Yeah, we ran into that same issue when we had NRL 22 Nationals, where we told everybody, you know, get your room reserved now.
Yeah, the big saving grace is a lot of people live down that way. I know for a fact we got 3 of our regulars who are planning on coming out that are opening up their own personal lake house to other people. So, most of that's probably booked already, but that's probably 10 out of the 80 shooters. And then Chad will cover, you know, damn near half of what's left just with his 2 bunkhouses and the campsites. So
sure.
We're planning on bringing my camper up. So if somebody gets in a real big bind, we're going to save it for an emergency. But if somebody wants to stay on the range, we'll have our personal camper there as well.
Awesome. Sounds like it's going to be a good time. I'm looking forward to it.
And I'm hoping.
I don't know if I'll either shoot or come RO, one of the two.
Okay.
So plan on me being there. And I'll just go ahead and dedicate DJ too. Well, while you stand here, we'll just go ahead and dedicate Joel. So you got 3 guys that are going to help you out. Yeah. Right there. Boom, right there.
It's going to be a fun match.
Don't plan anything that weekend, guys.
I hope I can.
You're going to rely on Joel?
Are you going to have a speed limit on?
Well, it's probably not going to be raining.
That's at the individual ranges.
It does rain in July.
I don't know. Does Champ
do you own a rain suit?
Does Champ have a limit? I do. I think it's 3,200 at his range.
That's never been out of the package, though.
Well, don't we still have a speed limit in most or PRS?
I don't know that PRS. I think PRS left it up to the individual ranges. Speed limits.
Yeah. I think it was 3,250, I think.
3,150 for a long time.
And then no magnums. So you can't shoot the 7 PRC. Sorry. You're going to have to use something a little wimpier. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll be running the camera too. My photography level is not where your guys' are, but you know.
Have you seen my photography level?
I've seen
sideways, upside down.
Some of your blurry photos. Yeah, I've
seen. He posted a video of me shooting a 3-gun stage with the damn thing completely sideways. I'm like, delete that fucking thing. Nobody wants to watch me run a stage sideways.
Yeah, we're excited. I love the camera again. Last year, it's actually amazing. You know, took a page right out of Joel's playbook here, but it turns out people really appreciate having good photos of themselves at matches. So that's what I did last year. I won't shoot it again this year. I refuse to shoot my own match. I hate it when match directors do that. So I'll just be shooting photos. I'll be trying to get pictures of everybody.
You'll be busy otherwise too.
Yeah, a lot going on. Thankfully, I got Steve to lean on. And then obviously, anybody who's shot one of Doug's matches, he's going to be there. He'll be helping us with Gadsden half of it. So
awesome. Well, looking forward to it. You guys got anything you want to add to that?
I got some questions. I already asked Joel one of his.
So we're at 1:30 right now, so just letting you know.
CZ at the SHOT Show. What was your feelings about CZ?
They didn't really market anything big. they had a new chassis on their 22, and then they had a new hunting rifle. There wasn't
nothing really new though.
No, not
that's
really
what I'm hearing.
Yeah,
with that 660 and that MDT.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
okay, yeah,
great. Yeah. I mean, all they do is polish up an already existing item. So
there's been a major mix up at CZ USA, and they got the Colt employees pretty much running things from what I'm understanding.
Oh, man, I hope that's not the case.
That's what I'm hearing.
Did you get a chance to play with that new Beretta, that straight pole action?
I didn't, no. I didn't swing by the Beretta booth.
I don't think I want one, but at the same time, I kind of want one. I don't like straight poles, but there's something.
Oh, I like straight pole.
The one that I've seen that's got the kind of FDE stock with the camo pattern on it, and the way they did it with an EOTech and a magnifier on it, it looks pretty freaking sexy, man. I'm like,
I'm going to flip that up now.
The first 2 or 3 days of SHOT Show, it's buzzing around and you doing meetings. And then after that, you kind of get that free-for-all. And if you walk by a booth and the booth is empty, you can pretty well bet there's nothing in there. Yeah. And the Beretta booth was not as bad as the Glock booth, but there was nobody there.
Really?
So I just cruised right past it.
I got you.
Honestly, Smith & Wesson booth was dead, too. The only reason I swung by was because you asked me to swing by, and I was like, the lever action is, I mean, on the end, bright color, big display, and it's like, man, nobody's playing with this thing. We walked right up to it, and there was no line. I just played around with this thing for 20 minutes.
So you told me, tell everybody what you initially think about that.
It's good. The stock definitely feels plasticky. I would like to see them. I don't know. Anybody who's used a cheap, you know, Savage Axis Ruger,
like it's
American,
hollow inside.
Yeah. And so it feels cheap. The fit and finish was good. I mean, the balance was good. The weight was good. It wasn't like some of the other products that we've seen where it's like very clearly prototyped. You know, it was nice. It was really nice. It was smooth. I would probably put it on par with the Henry. Not quite what the new Marlin is, but it was smooth. It wasn't chunky. The lever action was easy to run. You didn't have that hard spot that a lot of the cheaper lever actions do.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely wasn't like running a Rossi. So it was good. I was really impressed with it. My only complaint, obviously I didn't shoot it, just initial review, is it's the kind of a plasticky stock. I would like to see them at least dead fill it.
Right.
But other than that, it was good.
Cool. What's the best thing you shot?
I mean, that lever action from Arrow is pretty good. I would love to see them fix the Solus. That thing still sucks. Steiner released a new...
We can fight about it.
I'm waiting.
We've set 5 back now. 5, because you couldn't physically run the
5
bolt
out of 300,000 that they've sold.
Yes. I mean,
every other one that I've seen, touched, heard of from anybody else all runs great. But but at the same time, you have sent 5 back. And so people need to just hear this.
The other side is that the price point's too close to the Bighorn Origin or the Zermatt Origin. And when you have the Origin that close in price point, for how it runs and the finish is in the 45 minutes we were playing with this thing to try to figure out how to get it to work, we wore finish off. So the black nitride is crap, and it's not a smooth action. The action itself is heavy. It fits a price point, but for another $150, just buy the Origin and be done with it.
What do you got yours chambered in, Joel?
Mine is chambered in 6GT.
Yeah.
Yep. And my action, to be fair, was pretty gritty and clunky when it first came to me as well, brand new. Mm-hmm. But now after 300-400 rounds through it, it's smoothed out nicely. Huh. You know, I really do liken it to any other factory action, Remington 700 Savage, any other mm-hmm. factory action, save Tika. Tika is just an exceptional,
sure,
you know, alternative, but any other action, you know, from factory, it feels the way that it feels, a little clunky, a little gritty. It's not like Ruger Precision Rifle gritty, but almost.
You don't get the zipper feel.
Yeah, you don't get the zipper, but you get Savage bind.
You did, yeah, mine did too. And again,
does that have a floating bolt head?
I don't think it does.
I don't think so. But it, again, mine did too at the start, but it smoothed out nicely. And I've had no issues with mine. But
what's it sitting in?
I went ahead and bought an Aero Solace chassis to put it in.
Gotcha.
In fact, I like the chassis better than I do the action.
I've heard a lot of good things about that
chassis. Chassis is good, and yeah. I will give credit where credit's due. The chassis is good.
Do you have any at the shop?
No, not by themselves.
Gotcha.
No.
Yeah. But when it comes down to it, and I just wanted to argue with you for the sake of the podcast because it's more interesting.
Sure.
But when it comes down to it, if it's kind of like we say, well, would you recommend the Arc and Scope? And we all had, well, I recommend with reservations, right? Mm-hmm. For me, it's the same with the Aero Solace. It's like, well, yeah, if you got your heart set, like, are you an Aero fanboy and that's your brand and that's what you want to stick with, fine, do it. I think you're fine. But if you can save yourself just a couple more $100 up, there's probably some better options out there on the market.
Aero's one of
those accuracy things. International has nothing to worry about then.
I don't think they
have. Okay, all right. I just want to make sure.
Aero is one of those companies. It's like their AR platform.
Hang on. Greg Knoyer is running an AI, so now you're going to see
everybody's got to go buy an AI now.
I did a video. I just recorded a video the other day. I busted the AI.
You're the one that started all that. You went and got that AI, and then Greg said he had to have one.
Well, I have just a quick thought on this. So you notice every time Greg changes something, a lot of people follow suit.
Mm-hmm.
I think he does it just to see how many people will go out and do the exact same thing.
A little part of me wonders, yeah.
Because he's sitting at home going, how can I fuck with these guys today? All right, I'll just go out and buy a $10,000 rifle and see what everybody else does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they do.
He probably talked them into a discount too, knowing Greg.
I think there's some very valid reasons to run an AI. I really do. I love them. My AIAT is a fabulous rifle, but there it sits 99% of the time in my safe, and it is my most expensive safe queen because it's not built for competition. You wouldn't run it in competition. It's too top heavy. You can't balance the thing well. You wouldn't run it in hunting because it's like 18 pounds, you know, from the factory. You're not going to take it hunting. And again, the balancing issue, right? So if you're going to run an AI in competition, you want to buy or build specifically the AI competition rig. Otherwise,
I just think it's funny.
It is funny.
So you'd go with the AX, or what would you go with?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, you know, if you've got $5,000 to $7,000 to $10,000 to spend on a custom rig that you're going to run in competition, and you like AI, I think it's a fabulous option. You know what I mean? It's that, or you're going to build a custom
swap barrels. Swap, yeah,
you're going to build a custom, you know, rifle for roughly the same money. Mm-hmm. I think it's 6 to 1, half dozen the other. You know, I personally think that with AIs, just the way that they're built, you're going to tinker with it less. As far as like every custom rifle that I've built, it's like a high performance race car. You got to tune it. You got to tinker with it constantly, it seems, you know. And with the AI, I've never had to tinker or tune anything. The thing just works. It just runs. It feeds reliably. It goes bang when I need it.
Probably one of the most bulletproof rifles
out
there.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, they had the owner of Mile High on a podcast a few weeks ago. I don't remember which one it was, and he was talking about the history of them and all the torture testing that they did to them and how many tens of thousands of rounds that they would run through an action in their barrels. I think they said that they had a 308 barrel, please don't hold me to this, but I'm pretty sure that they said they had a 308 barrel that had over 30,000 rounds through it.
Those original Lothar Walther barrels were and still are amazing. My understanding is they're not offering them on the AIs anymore here in the U.S.
Man,
they went to something else.
I can't imagine that many rounds on a barrel.
But the Lothar barrels were known to be, you know, they'd last forever.
Were they hammer forged? Or?
Hammer forged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll be darned.
And I'm pretty sure they were Cairoed too.
Cool.
What's the worst thing you saw at SHOT Show?
Oh, the worst thing.
Just pick any Derringer.
Man, I'll tell you what. So this is the second year in a row. Holosun released their new night vision thermal thing. This is the second year in a row I watched one fail at SHOT. So,
oh, really?
They haven't released it yet. It's not available for purchase, but it is not ready. This is 2 years in a row that it stopped working. It turned off. They could not get it to turn back on. They changed the batteries. They ended up grabbing another unit. It's 2 years in a row.
Oh, shit.
So the technology is just not there yet. It was not good.
And it's like $1,500 or something.
It's expensive, yeah. And once it gets worked out, once the issues are worked out, it's a neat product. It's very niche. It's not something that everybody's going to run out and buy. Sure. It is neat.
It's cool.
But if it doesn't work, it doesn't matter.
Right. Right.
So,
well, and the resolutions, too. I mean, it's a tiny screen. The resolution sucks.
Refresh rates are bad.
Other thermal on the market. It's horrible.
Yeah.
You know, despite if it worked, that's one thing. Even if it worked flawlessly, the resolution and the tiny screen.
Still not there.
No, thank you.
And there's a real bad flicker in the screen. The refresh rate on it's real slow. It's just.
And really,
everybody's pumped about this thing. And I mean, after playing with it 2 years in a row, I don't understand the hype. It's a terrible product.
Really, I mean, in my mind, what's the practical use of it? I mean, I wouldn't run it on a carry pistol. I wouldn't.
Home defense, maybe.
I wonder if it's less about practical purpose and more about that breaking through, that breakthrough of technology with taking thermal and packing it into something that small.
Because
it's just like the Vortec, that 4000. I mean, that was a breakthrough product. The next
cheapest
competition is $8,500, right? So I think this is exactly the same thing. I mean, whether it's got a practical purpose or not, that could be argued probably in the more negative light than positive light. But if they can pack that technology out and start to refine it, then other people are going to jump on it and they're going to start to refine it.
Sure.
As of right now, terrible product.
What else you got, Deej?
That was it.
So one more thing on SHOT Show. Did you get the PSA's booth?
No. PSA's booth was freaking packed.
I bet.
And I got the flu on day two, and I was like, I'm not doing it.
You got the SHOT Show flu?
I got sick before I even got to SHOT Show.
So you was one of them spreading it.
100%. I just avoided everybody, didn't shake hands, did the elbow touches.
That got sick at the SHOT Show flu.
Yeah, you can blame me, but it's like when you invest that kind of money, you just have to do it. So. Yeah. Did my meetings. It's like I even did some of the meetings with a mask on. So like just doing my best to not be that asshole. But I was super sick. Wednesday night I had 103 degree fever. Oh, and I was just trying not to die. So yeah, we were kind of.
There's nothing worse than being sick away from home.
Yeah, and then and you have to work. It's like you can't invest that kind of money and then sit in a hotel. You just have to do it.
That sucks.
And it's just suffering. I just suffered through it and try not to die. So,
well, I know they got a lot of things that they're announcing and some of it's prototype. I know you kind of got a little giggly on the MP7, the clone, which that's a cool concept. Really not kind of my forte, but
mine neither.
I really hope that they put that new shotgun. I hope it works. I hope they put that into production.
The modular
optics cut. I heard one of the, was listening to a YouTube channel here a little bit before you guys come in, talking about the modularity of changing out the barrels and the magazine tubes and all that, and why would you want that? Well, maybe I want to set it up to take it goose hunting or duck hunting or something like that. So I want to put a 28-inch barrel on it with, modified chokes or something like that.
They're doing really good things over there. Really innovative products. The quality control is decent enough. The price point is good. They really are doing good things.
I've heard a couple of the podcasts or YouTube.
Yeah, they had
different,
the owner was on one.
Been on a couple of different things. Mm-hmm. You got to admire the guy, the way they started out,
the way they
got through it. But he's backing up his position, he's putting money into all different kinds of fights for the 2A world.
Plus, and that's, I was going to bring that point up. I mean, he is unequivocally one of the better companies for the 2A. They're putting stuff that 20 years ago was not readily accessible, not readily owned, and they were the push, they were the spear point in making AR-15s readily available to the common consumer. And then they continue to just push that barrier every year, and they're like, the MP7 is cost prohibitive, right? You know, anybody who's ever used an MP5, badass product, super expensive to get. And then they broke that barrier and made it an affordable option now. I mean, they're doing great things. A lot of respect for the company, regardless of how I feel about some of the products.
Some of the stuff's maybe a little cheesy, whatever, but some of that stuff's just fun, right? Mm-hmm. You know, their line of ARs, I've got a couple PSA, and they're not 10,000, 20,000 round count rifles, but they do serve a purpose, and they've been quality, and I haven't had one issue with any of it so far.
I got a 260 built on one of their AR-10. I think the only parts left that are PSA is the upper and lower frames. That's about it on that. And then I got one of their uppers that I run for 3-gun.
Yeah, not that we specialize in the AR stuff. I mean, it's a super small part of what we do. But we've never seen issues with PSA where we have seen more than a few issues with Anderson. Yeah. So, given that they're about the same price point, it's really tough, especially the PSAs. I don't know what they're doing with their quote-unquote blem sales. I mean, we have guys buy $20 lowers, $40 lowers, and we can't find anything wrong with it.
Everything I've ever bought from PSA is a blem.
I was just about to say, I have one of their Glock 19 clones. It was a blem, like complete gun, that I got for something like $289, and I haven't had an issue with it.
I would like to see what the blems are. I wish they would, like, this is paint. What's wrong. I mean, I can't help but wonder if it's like, oh, shit, we made too many of these. We messed up here. It's super cheap now, you know?
Mine was an OD green paint job, and it had some scuffs on it. Maybe that was it. I don't know. But I got a screaming deal.
Yep.
Basically half-price Glock, and it seems to be dang reliable.
Yeah, a lot of these guys buying Glock lowers, whatever, they're paying more in the transfer fee than they pay for the actual item. That's incredible prices.
Mm-hmm. It'd be interesting to see what they come out with this year. Anyway. Anything else you guys want to add?
I'm good.
I got my questions up.
We got about an hour and 46 minutes in, so I think we've bored everybody to tears.
Oh, yeah. Everybody should be asleep by now, so we can say anything we want now.
So, kind of close this up. Alan, Full Circle Reloading and Firearms, let people know how they can find out more about
you. We are on Facebook, Instagram. We've got the phone number, the website. We're pretty easy to find. You throw us on a Google search, we'll show up.
Go check them down out. In St. Charles.
Yeah, St. Charles, Missouri, right there outside of St. Louis. Okay, cool. So, again, this has been the Precision Rifle Network podcast, and I want to thank everybody for coming over today. Joel, I know you got about an hour and 20-minute drive, so appreciate you coming over here and joining us.
Sure.
Hope we made you proud tonight.
It's been fun.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of fun.
We need to do this more often.
Yep.
This is starting to be a lot of fun. I'm liking this.
Good.
I really do appreciate you guys coming over tonight. Be sure to check out PRN on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook, all your socials out there. Consider supporting us through Patreon. If you are interested in becoming a content creator, you can get a hold of Joel at precisionriflenetwork@gmail.com. You can always email us for general questions, feedback, topic, or guest suggestions. We truly do appreciate the feedback. So if you've got that, please send that to us, because we want to know how we can improve the show. And as always, if in doubt, just hold left edge and send it. Thank you, everybody.